Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction haunt entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And look, okay, everyone, we are recording this on November 3rd. It's going live November 4th. Mm-hmm. Here's what I want everyone to do, listen to this podcast. I want you to breathe in, breathe out, breathe in. Breathe out. Do you feel better? Now, good. Get ready for the 2020 season. Get out there. It's time to start getting ready for it.
Okay. So that was a thing.
That's right. Well, that's how I feel about it. We got to get ready for 2020, guys. You don't get to rest. There's no rest for the wicked. Okay. Money don't grow on trees. You got bills to pay. You got mouths to feed. Oh, wait. That's a song.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
I should probably calm down, huh? But yes, indeed, this is Haunt Weekly, and the 2019 season is, for most of you at least, in the can.
Yes, ours hasn't technically started until January.
Yeah, that's a completely different matter. But if you want to learn more about that different matter, we are Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter. We are also available at hauntweekly.com. YouTube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel, and you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. We're here every Monday. Every Monday. Mm-hmm. But yes, the 2019 season for most is in the books, and I hope it was a successful one. I hope it went exactly as well as you had planned and desired. It did not for us.
It did not for us, and I've heard from a lot of people online that they struggled with weather.
Yes.
There was snow in the north and rain in the south, and, you know.
Which was kind of interesting, because here, like, the weather during the exact hours we were to be open was pretty good.
For Halloween night.
Halloween night, yes. Okay, the other two nights we would have been open, there was a literal tropical storm.
Yes, so nobody would have shown up.
And, like, okay, Friday night, there was a tropical storm. And Saturday night, there was the cleanup from the tropical storm, plus 70 to 80,000 people without power.
Yeah.
So that's less than ideal.
Right.
And plus, our entire display would have been completely wrecked. And.
Yes. But for the people who did have to deal with all of that, you know, we feel
you. You know, for every one of you who had to deal with either the snow, with the rain, the whatever, and you overcame it. You overcame it. Awesome. Power to you. And for those who were forced to close due to one of those issues, we actually feel you pretty strong right now.
Yeah.
And so does Yeah. Our next door neighbor's dog that has decided to join us on the podcast is the third participant.
I think it's because that Yaya hears you talking in here and knows that you bring him treats.
Yeah. Maybe I should stop bringing him treats, is what you're saying. I should stop giving the next door neighbor dog treats. Stop loving on him and giving him affection. That sounds you're horrible, Crystal. You're a horrible person for even suggesting that idea.
Didn't realize that's what I suggested, but okay.
It's not what you suggested at all. I'm just feeling playful and glad that the season is in the books and that we get to move on, honestly, because it's been a rough one for us, as we'll get into in a minute.
Yeah. First, we have to do conference reminders.
Yeah, let's get those out of the way. Crystal, you're the oddball. Wink, okay. Wink, nudge, nudge.
Yes.
So kick us off. Will you do the honors?
Okay. So November 8th and 9th, coming up soon, it's Legendary Haunt Tour in Atlanta, Georgia. They will meet at the Gwinnett Place Hotel. We'll be touring Netherworld Haunted House in Atrox and Leeds, among others. You can find out what those others are at legendaryhaunttour.com.
Sounds great. A good chance to see haunted attractions while they're still up, still staffed, And, you know, your haunt may not be open or is not likely open.
Yeah, and it's always exciting when you have haunters come and visit.
Absolutely. I personally love it. We're looking forward to doing that in January, which we're getting to in just a minute in these notes.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up after that is the Seasonal Attraction Leadership Symposium 2019 in Kissimmee, Florida, December 9th at the Gaylord Palms Hotel. It's hosted by the Haunted Attractions Network. Mathematically speaking, there is a very good chance you're listening to us on the Haunted Attractions Network. There are four keynotes with the following discussions: a private viewing of the Gaylord of Christmas by the Gaylord Palms, Haunted Attractions Network. HauntedAttractionNetwork.com is the main website. Leadership-symposium.org is the direct link, but since nobody can spell that, HauntedAttractionNetwork.com is where you go for more details.
Okay, January 17th through the 19th, it's HauntCon Halloween and Party Expo here in New Orleans at the Ernest and Memorial Convention Center. It will be featuring us. We are doing a co-talk.
A co-talk is how we're calling it. A co-talk.
A co-talk. That sounds Klingon.
Co-talk!
Exactly. And so we're doing that. It's going to be on basic scare tactics.
I forgot what it's about now.
Basic.
We were doing
scare
Klingon
tactics.
And I forgot what the talk was about.
Yes. But there are going to be lots of other presenters there, plus the showroom floor. On January 17th, we will be opening up our haunt to people who want to come.
You'll be the first to see it this year.
Yes, it may add some detail over the next year.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to change and evolve over the next, 10 months.
Basically, you're going to be our guinea pigs.
Yeah.
We'll see whether or not things work.
We're going to inject lots of drugs into you and ask you what you think about our haunt.
Oh, my God.
Maybe not the drugs part.
No.
We will be asking you lots of questions about what you think about the haunt.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
That part is true.
Anyway, for information on HauntCon, you can go to HauntCon.com.
All right. After that, the coolest event on our list, HauntX, the Haunters DIY Expo, February 21st to 23rd in Pomona, California at the Fairplex. We'll be touring Asylum Haunted House, both lights on and lights off, and we'll feature a costume ball. HauntX.com for more details. A domain so cool, I wish I'd gotten to it first.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so season's winding down, and
first we've got a little bit of house cleaning.
Yes.
So on Friday, we were able to get all of the prizes mailed off.
Yeah, so, I hope you appreciated it. It wasn't as cheap as we had thought it would be.
Well, no, I knew it wouldn't be. Anyway.
Anyway.
So the grand prize winners, congratulations to Sam Farrell and Kelly Rays. Also the runners up being Chris Gay, Shannon Rebels, Brandon Lee Sitton, Victor Ruelas, Roberta McClellan, and TJ Logan. Thank you very much for writing in and getting those prizes, questions right.
Yes. They were sent all Friday.
Yes.
It's now in the Postal Service's hands.
Yeah, you should have them by the end of this week.
By whenever the Postal Service decides to deliver it. Now, I would like to say to Victor, I believe it was.
Yes.
I hope you were doing well with the hires.
Yeah, because whenever we went to mail off your package, it said it may be
blinking
delayed.
Blinking thing on the Postal Service kiosk.
Yeah.
Saying, may be delayed due to a local emergency. We're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fires. Fire bad.
Yeah.
Hope you are doing well and hope all is okay there for you. And note that your package may be delayed due to that.
Yes. And also to Kelly Rays, watched your walkthrough video. Your haunt looks awesome. You did a great job.
Yes, indeed. That was an awesome video. By the way, your rules banner was really cool. I'm into rules banners, okay?
Yes, you looked at that. I looked at everything else.
I'm a pragmatic haunter.
Uh-huh.
And pragmatic haunters, as you know, drink way too much for getting onto a podcast.
Yes, you can understand.
She's drinking mint tea. I'm drinking Yingling Oktoberfest, which, by the way, is decidedly mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we're moving on. So, anyways, the main point of this podcast is 2019 lessons.
Yes.
Now, usually when we do this podcast, we talk about our personal lessons, the things that went right, the things that went wrong with our haunted house.
Right.
And like last year, we talked a lot about the photo op area because that was our biggest win. That was a huge triple score, and it was Crystal's idea. She gets full credit.
No.
But this year, we were not open.
Yeah.
So we don't get to talk about what went right and what went wrong in our haunt.
Right. But we did still have about 100 people come by.
Yes. And
we gave out candy. Mm-hmm. We had bagged up candy. Ellie was very helpful in getting that set up
for us. Yes. I do want to take a moment to thank Ellie for that because we bought the candy and then we were not sure when we were going to have time with everything else going on because we have a big project with my work.
And I was cooking treats for my office, little graveyards.
Yeah, lots of things were going on. Ellie took charge and bagged the candy and got the individual portions ready. She made about 50 portions.
Yeah.
Which turned out not to be enough because we had a few more people come by than we anticipated.
But that's okay because we fixed it.
We still had enough candy for everyone, though, but not enough individual bags.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, this leads into the quick update on the haunt. We were closed this year due to road construction. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a piss-off, honestly, because Vivian Court was fully intact at the time we would have opened on Halloween night. Now, it was debatably intact Friday night, the first night we would open. They had paved the other side, but they still had it kind of blocked off because the tar was wet because they had just done it Thursday.
Yeah, and there was still equipment in the area.
Yeah. So basically what happened is right before Friday happened, right before our opening, they came in and they took all the equipment away because there was a tropical storm coming.
Right.
Tropical storm hit Friday pretty much right during the hours we would have been open.
Mm-hmm.
And I say tropical storm, I should put some air quotes around that because it was a tropical storm in the Gulf. It was less than tropical depression, tropical fart, whatever they call it.
It was a tropical event.
It was a tropical event. And so no one was going to be out Friday night. And even though it was not even a tropical storm, it managed to knock out power for about 80,000 people locally. And it caused a whole bunch of chaos at our house.
Yeah.
Leaves, debris. Our tiny little display was actually kind of wrecked by it.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what would have happened if we'd had the full display out. I've been kind of nightmaring about that the whole time.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about that last week, about what happened and how. One of the good things that we did hear by the people who were coming by is that the neighborhood actually got together with the people with younger mm-hmm. kids and did a trunk or treat down the road. And they may continue to do it in the future. They're not sure, but lots of people just wanted to see where the haunted house was so that they would know where to go next year.
Yeah.
So people are expecting us back next year, which is great. That's what we want. Yeah. And we're hoping to meet up with the organizers so that we can do some co-promotion over the next year.
Because I really do think this is a natural moment of synergy here.
Yeah.
Because they can do the trick-or-treat, and then, we have a trick-or-treat area, but it's one house in a neighborhood. I mean, we can only do so much, right?
Right.
Sure, we spend like $300 on candy every year, but we're still limited, right? So they can do the candy, the trick-or-treat part, and send them here so they can get scared out of their wits.
Yeah, well, and we'll still have the trick-or-treat
area. Oh, absolutely. I'm not getting rid of that.
But they can do the trunk or treat and then come here, and then that will get the word out about us even further,
exactly.
Which is kind of scary because we're already at capacity on
Halloween night.
But maybe not next year.
Yeah, maybe give us some help in getting people here Friday and the two nights before. We have capacity available those nights. Just saying. Okay. So, yeah, we're going to try to find out who the organizers were. We only found out about it literally Halloween night.
Yeah, the first car that pulled up was like,
they're doing a trunk or treat up the road. We just want to see where the haunted house was.
Yeah.
I'm like, was? Yeah. You mean is, just not this year.
Yeah.
We're still the haunted house, baby. I mean, believe me.
Yeah.
That didn't change. But, I mean, ultimately, there was only about 100 people who showed up, which I think is a good thing. I mean,
we'll get into reasons for that in a minute.
Yeah, and ultimately, I mean, okay, with our haunt, I had nightmares.
Uh-huh.
Like, literal nightmares. Like, actual, literal nightmares. Like, I woke up with this fear.
Oh, yeah. No, I get those.
And basically, with this year when we were closed, I was fearing that we would be out there in our costumes or our partial costumes, because I'm not in my mask. I'm not in the full getup. Right. I'm trying to make sure I can speak and be understood.
And I was in a not scary costume, so I wasn't scared of little kids.
Exactly. We were both trying to do our job here as far as, you know, being adults.
Yeah.
I imagined myself sitting there with carloads of adults, with an adult and like a bunch of kids. We drove all the way out from blah, 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 blah to come see you, and you're not open. How dare you not be open? You're an asshole.
Yeah.
What road construction? What are you talking about? No, that never happened. Every carload was super kind, super empathetic. And when we explained the situation, they were super happy for us that we were going to come back next year. Every car promised to come back in 2020.
Yes.
Multiple cars threatened to come back in 2020.
Yes.
And I like those cars. Those are my cars. Those are my people there.
We also told them to follow us on Facebook. And
we got 21 new likes on Facebook.
Yeah.
On this, I checked it
out.
Which
is about how many cars we had.
Yeah, we had pretty much one per car.
Yeah, because the number of people includes the kids in the car that were wanting to go through the haunted house.
I think we got 21 new likes on Facebook that night.
Mm-hmm.
God, they were all just so wonderful. They took the disappointment so well. And, I mean, some of it is, yeah, we were there offering free stuff.
Yeah.
And we were trying to be upfront about it and we're being honest. But it's just, they were all so amazing people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I got nothing but great things to say about our visitors right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I was expecting to hear nasty things and be called names that night. And
well, you know, we've learned over the years that for the most part, I mean, there have been a few incidents, but for the most part, we've been doing this since 2005, and we've only had to throw out three people.
Yeah.
That says a lot, considering how many people we get every year.
Yeah. You're not wrong. And here's the thing. I dreaded this so much that I actually was loath to put on the costume.
Yeah.
So much so that I didn't even put on the light-up gloves. I mean, you know, but I was so loath to do it. Then I got out there, and I hate to say it, but I actually enjoyed Halloween night, even though we were closed. Just because everyone was so supportive.
Yeah.
So, you go get them. You go get them in 2020. We're going to be back. They filled me with so much optimism.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I know it was still a lousy Halloween. Halloween still sucked. I'm not going to lie. But my God, did I walk away feeling way better than I should have for having a closed haunt.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was our... basically, it was us standing out there in partial costume, talking to cars that showed up and were confused about what was going on and telling them, hey, we're closed. I mean, look at the display, you know. This is what happened. This is a story. Have some candy for the kiddies, you know, and send them on their way. And it worked remarkably well. I'm very happy we were there and that everyone was as cool as they were.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was our Halloween. How was yours? Hopefully it was better.
Yeah.
But seriously, here's the thing. Even though we were closed, we still visited 15 haunted attractions this season, including 7 that we had never made our way to before.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's 8, isn't it? Because the Houston trip had only been to 1 before.
Yeah.
So it's 8.
Okay.
My mistake.
So over half.
Over half. We're completely new to us.
Yeah.
And as avid haunters and as avid lifelong learners, this was a chance for some education. So even though we were closed and we can't talk about the lessons we learned, though one of them is a lesson we learned from our season.
Yes.
There's a lot we want to talk about and go over in this episode. So shall we?
Yes.
Okay, well, the first one is a lesson we learned from our season, or non-season, as the case might be. The power of marketing.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, and we we know that marketing is a powerful tool.
Yeah.
But we've never had to take it from this side of it.
Yeah, this was an absolutely extreme example of what marketing can and cannot do.
Right.
Maybe mostly what it can do.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Usually we get roughly 1,000 people visiting our house at Halloween.
Yeah.
And by the way, about 800 of those people go to the haunt. A bunch of others just mingle around front and wait for their kids to go through. But all in all, 1,000 people come to our house.
Well, okay, so it's more than that that come to the house. That's just the number that get to you going into the haunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's also the trick-or-treat area where we get another 300 or 400.
Yeah. It's huge. Basically, yeah. It's huge. This year, we only had slightly less than 100. It's like 94, I think it was our total.
Yeah, and our counts were based on what off. We could see in cars.
Yeah, it's not a perfect count.
No.
And why we flipped the marketing script, instead of promoting that we were open and ready for everyone to come, we promoted that we were closed.
Yeah.
We took the exact same marketing approach other than the flyers.
Mm-hmm.
And marketed that we were closed instead of that we were open.
Exactly.
And it worked amazingly well. Yeah. I mean, the fact we only had 94 and we only had one traffic jam.
Right.
Is breathtaking.
Yeah, and realistically, if we had remembered to move our cars like we normally do, we wouldn't have even had that traffic jam. That was poor planning on our part.
That was a lack of foresight on our part.
Yeah.
And it's basically a reminder that marketing is a powerful force. And you and I need to talk way more about it.
Okay.
Because this is something for future episodes. We've done several on it already. But there's way more to say about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, watching the difference in terms of the traffic to our house between a year we marketed that we were open and please come and get scared versus a year we marketed that we were closed, please don't come.
Right.
It's huge. It was 900 people. It was 90%.
Yeah.
I mean, stop and think about that. Marketing could be 90% of the people who come to your haunt.
Exactly.
That's what we learned.
Yeah.
I knew it would be high.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it'd be that high.
Yeah.
And even though it's like, oh, only 94 people came by, I view this as a win.
Yeah.
We weren't open. We didn't want people to come by.
Right.
And we especially didn't want to disappoint people.
Yeah.
So the fact there were so few disappointed people on Halloween night says that the marketing approach worked.
Yeah. And on the two nights that we are open, where it's mostly adults who come to see us, we did not have any visitors those two nights. Because the tropical storm, but B, just because I think the marketing also got to the people who needed to hear it.
And here's the thing, the people who did show up were people who were not following us already on Facebook.
Right.
This was something I noticed.
Yeah.
Because we said, hey, follow us on Facebook. Every car pulled out their phone and started following us. Multiple people, in some cases, started pulling out their phone, meaning they were not following us previously. So we had no method of contact with them.
No.
We had no way to reach them, no way to tell them we were closed.
Right.
Heard
many times over, we come here every year. I've been coming here since I was a kid. I wanted to bring my kids.
That broke my freaking heart.
It's like... Yeah, we know, we understand.
But this is why we closed. Yeah. And once we said why we closed,
like,
everyone went, I get it. I'm sorry, we'll be back in 2020.
Yeah, and because the way they entered and exited the court, they could see
the kind of repair
that they're planning for our side.
Yeah, and I've sent another email asking when our side of the court is being finished. I'll probably hear back after this podcast goes live.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But they could at least see that, hey, this is some significant tearing up and repaving stuff.
Yeah.
And that even though the court was completely passable come Halloween night, it was not supposed to be.
Yeah.
And they understood and it went on and it was great.
Yeah. It was just our fault for believing the city. That was kind of the line we told them, and
it was actually very well accepted.
Yeah, they're like, "Oh, yeah, that
yeah, we
total
get that.
Sense.
We've done that too.
Yeah,
we get that.
Okay.
Second thing is the power. This is from our haunt visits, by the way.
Yeah, the rest of this, pretty much.
Yeah, the rest of this is from our haunt visits, because unfortunately, when you're closed, you don't get very many lessons.
Right.
But the next one is the power of add-ons. If I'm going to do a takeaway from our Houston trip, which I'm going to take shockingly little away from.
Yeah.
The main thing I want to take is the power of add-ons. The power of having additional haunted attractions on site. The power of having carnival games, zombie paintball, other things like that available for people to do. Basically, turning your haunt from something that people go through and are done in X number of minutes to something that is a full evening activity.
Right. And back whenever we were first starting, when we didn't have the big, big crowds we get now, we actually had carnival games set out for the trick-or-treaters so that they would spend a few more minutes there, and it was
fun. Yeah, I mean, considering we're a free haunt, it was quite a generous thing to do.
Yeah. Not saying that we're competing ever with any of these, but it was just reiterated by seeing all of the great things that were around the haunts in Houston.
And that was the interesting thing. It's like the Houston haunts were really focused on the question, what do people do after the haunt?
Yeah. Yeah. And it seemed to be really focused on having a place for young people to hang out all night.
Yeah. Like Creepy Hollow had the rave dance club thing, which was really weird, kind of awkward. It was basically a building. It was a room with lights and music, and that was about it. But people were dancing in it. I mean, I guess, you know, it was working.
Yeah. Yeah, and there were some people in there that had masks on, so I don't know if they had masks available that you could put on to dance with, or if people just brought their own, but anyway.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
But here's the thing. We're seeing this not just in Houston, but also locally. Rise has answered this question by providing multiple attractions.
Yes.
If you're going to do everything at Rise, you need to allot at least 2 hours.
Yeah.
Not even, that's not an exaggeration. That's just truth.
No, I mean, we got there close to opening this year, just as every year. And we did not get to do the zombie paintball that had just opened up next
door. Yeah, we didn't even find out about that until we were leaving.
Yeah, we didn't get to do it. It had opened up next door. It's not part of Rise, but it's adjacent to it.
Yeah, it's the adjacent property, literally.
Yeah.
Which is a good idea. If you can't do it yourself, you partner with those near you to provide it, if you can.
Right. And they've got some really cool ideas for things that they're going to be adding. So it's on a growth pattern.
I'm going to say this. If Rise does the things that they indicated they might be doing, and I don't want to give it away because it's really awesome stuff, Rise is going to become not just a full evening event. It might become a multiple day event.
Yeah, it might.
And if so, they might need to rethink their ticketing strategy a little bit.
Well, that's a future problem.
That is not a today problem. I agree. It's a future problem. But seriously, if they add as much as they're talking about, it might not be doable in one evening.
Yeah.
Just saying, literally. Mm-hmm. But no, we also see it at 13th Gate. They have the carnival thing across the road, even though the carnival was the same this year as last year, and I wasn't super impressed by it. They're clearly thinking along these lines.
Right. Yeah, and especially on the weekend days that are busier, they've got concerts going on and other things we don't ever get to see because that's...
We're on the lame-o nights.
Yeah, well, it's just usually too busy for us to actually go on the weekend nights, both in terms of the number of people at the haunt, which is good, make you money, but also in terms of where we usually are in the season and how we have to prepare.
Yeah, if we're working on our haunt, Thursday night's probably the only night we can go because Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night is work on our haunt time.
Yeah.
So Thursday night's our chance to go see their haunt.
Exactly.
But yeah, my God, they are putting so much into that. And Scout Island, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Scout Island impressed us a little bit less this year, but apparently they had busier times elsewhere in the season.
Right.
But they definitely are taking this idea of multiple attractions, multiple things to do. Basically, come in at 7 p.m., don't leave until past 11, and have things to do between then and now.
Right. And they also have a family atmosphere. They have things for little kids. They have things for older kids. They have things for adults. And they're trying to get families to spend an entire evening there. And I think it's working for them.
It seems to be.
Yeah. Now, I think that some of the hardcore haunt fans who want to that really hard scare may not like it as much.
Agreed. Yeah, but, I can see that.
But as far as families and those, what we've talked about before is this doesn't feel like a middle tier haunt because it's so big, but it's trying to get that same kind of audience.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying to put together, from what I can tell, three or four middle tier haunts.
Yeah.
Put them together and basically make sure that everyone who comes by has at least a couple hours of entertainment waiting for them.
Right.
And that includes both stuff for kids and adults. I mean, if you're an adult, you got the Kraken Bar, you've got alcoholic beverages, you've got the gorier scare zones, you've got things like that.
Right.
If you're a kid, you've got Boogie's Place.
Yeah. And cotton candy.
Cotton candy and fair food and things like that.
And fair rides, too.
Yeah. You've got stuff for all ages there, which I think is a big part of their focus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's really, really cool. And I think it's kind of the future of the industry. If you're not offering these kinds of add-ons and these kinds of things for people to do after they leave your haunt,
mm-hmm.
it's time to start thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's what's been successful. But on a related note, the lesson of the failure of the small but many.
Yeah.
Now, And people have suggested I do this podcast. We do this podcast about where we agree and disagree with Leonard Pickle and Larry Frightener or whatever. And these patriarchs of the industry.
Yeah.
We haven't done it yet. May never do it. I don't know. I may think
it's going to take a lot of research.
It is. Because I don't know everything Leonard Pickle said. He said a lot, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know what I agree and disagree with. He said a lot of crap. A lot of it's crap. A lot of it's good. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But one of the things he's really been big on is that haunts should be smaller but multiple on one location. Basically, the idea is if you have 15,000 square feet, instead of having one 15,000 square foot haunt, you should make, you know, four 3K haunts, four 3,000 square foot haunts, and then charge combo lines and have separate queue line combo passes and have different queue lines,
right.
And basically make it work.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can charge more and give people a more full experience, but, you know, use that same space more to your advantage financially. And it's a good idea if the haunts are tight.
Yeah.
And that's where we've seen this run aground.
Right. Because the ones that we went to where there were multiple haunts in Texas specifically.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the Louisiana ones that had multiple attractions.
No.
But the ones in Texas, they weren't up to what we're used to seeing.
Yeah.
As far as decoration, tightness, scare tactics.
Anything.
Anything.
Well, and then like, okay, the haunts in Louisiana have multiple attractions, like Rise.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's saying that's three small attractions.
No.
Like, the hayride alone is 30 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a small attraction.
No. No, exactly.
That's not following this rule of small but many.
Okay, so you're talking more about
like Red Rum,
multiple 5-minute.
Yeah, exactly.
5 or 6 minute haunts.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, it's definitely didn't work for us.
No. We saw, and that's the thing is like we've talked about how Leonard Pickle had that idea and he's been pushing it for years and none of the local haunts really do it.
Right.
I mean, the closest is Scout Island.
Exactly.
But even Scout Island has the Devil Swamp Tour, which is, I think, 23 minutes and change.
Yeah, and that's where they put most of their focus. You can tell that that's where they've spent the most time on
yeah.
the set builds, on the actor training. They put the best actors in there.
That's the A show, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. they do that thing where they have all the focus on that, but the other haunts are still there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we don't really get that genuine, there's three haunted attractions or four haunted attractions. They're all co-equal. And basically, you know, you're going to go and wait in different queue lines. You're going to pay one price and get multiple attractions. It's going to be great. We saw that at like Red Rum and Creepy Hollow.
Yeah.
And those type of attractions. And it didn't work, to my mind.
Right. But if each of their attractions had been as well done as Terror Dome, mm-hmm. we would have felt like we would have felt more satisified by the experience.
Bingo, bango, bongo. We all live in the Congo.
Yeah.
And that's just it. It's not that the system can't work. I think it can.
Yeah.
It's just that you have to take advantage of that smaller size to make it super tight. That size enables you to go through and focus on every panel, every room, every scare, bring everything up to that max level. And that's not what was going on in Houston.
No. And it's a shame because they've got a lot of room to work with. And so they could build one thing and do it really, really well, and then build another thing for the next year and do it really, really well and build it up over time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, and the problem was we went to like Red Rum and we went to the three haunts and all of them were the same level of not there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was frustrating because it's like if one of them had been good, it's like, oh, so they can take this and then apply it to this and that and the other haunt next year.
Right.
No, there's nothing to apply.
Yeah.
Other than the exteriors and the boardwalk element of it.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
So, yeah. I mean, that's the thing that came clear to me.
Yeah.
But I think Leonard Pickle's idea is good fundamentally from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
But from an application standpoint, there needs to be a focus on making sure that those haunts are tight. They're amazing 5 to 7 minute experiences that feel full. Like Terror Dome was, I think, 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And it felt really full.
Yeah, I was surprised when we got out because even though it felt like it was a fairly quick walkthrough, I didn't expect it to be as short as it was.
Yeah.
So, because it was a better experience.
And that's one of the things. We time haunts to see how long they are. Not so much to discuss the value, but to discuss how it felt.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've been mulling this question over after going to 13th Gate. Is it... And the question is, will I ever feel like I got a really full experience from multiple small haunts versus one well-done, really long one? And I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to have to find some multiple small ones to go to first.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay.
That are done
13th
well.
13th Gate was 33 minutes on the walkthrough, according to my notes. Imagine if you had three 10-minute haunts of that exact quality. We'll just say it was 30 minutes and put in the old ballpark, right? Would that be as full and as complete? I don't know.
Yeah.
We haven't had anything to compare it to.
Exactly. And that's why it's still a question in my mind of if it'll actually work, even if it's done really, really well.
Yeah, I agree with that a lot, actually.
No.
Okay, next item, because we could linger on that literally all day, because that's the type of stuff that we really enjoy. Focus on fundamentals. My God, safety, safety, safety. Do I have to keep shouting this at you?
We've only been saying it for 205 episodes. So, yes, apparently.
Clear your fucking walking path.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, Jesus Christ, Haunted Hotel, looking at you. You know where I'm looking.
Mm-hmm.
I should not chicane my knee upon the nearest stool.
No.
And I should not be in danger of tripping upon an iron bar that secures the door. This is all fundamentals. The walkway should be clear. Assume that absolutely everyone who's going through your haunt is a drunk pentathlete running through your haunt.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah. I mean, there's... And one of the things that we learned early on, and I'm seeing it come up in some other places right now, is that you cannot predict where a customer is going to go.
No.
Period.
If the walkway is available unto them, assume that someone will walk to it.
Yeah. Even if it's not really available, they still may try.
If you want to make sure a customer doesn't walk there, put a fucking wall.
Yeah.
Make it impossible, physically impossible to walk there.
Exactly.
Because if it is physically possible for someone to walk there or end up there, they will.
Yeah. And if you think that it's safe to have, you know, real weapons on the wall because it's way back there and nobody's ever going to touch it. No.
No, they will touch it.
They will find a way.
What happens when George of the Jungle comes swinging from the trees and crashes into that wall where the real weapons are, and the weapons like fall and impale him, and he survives and sues you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, the point remains,
yeah,
though.
It does.
That someone can come barreling through and hit a wall that you thought was not an impact zone, but is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can try to plan for the best you can for impact zones, but if it's not, it's not always guaranteed.
Yeah, we have tried repeatedly to plan for impact zones and to tell people where to walk. We've even laid tape, blacklight tape on the ground to tell people where the footpath is.
And that was like second or third year?
That was 13 years ago, I think, literally.
Yeah, second or third year.
It did not work.
No, that...
Oh, that failed.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so we've got a hairpin turn here. Oh, people don't know where to go.
Yeah. And some of it is...
Stay on the path, and then they find a new path.
Like last year, we had an issue where people did not go after leaving the doctor's room.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know where the next sequence was. So we just took a bright red light, stuck it in the ceiling... Yeah. And highlighted where the exit was, never had the problem again. Exactly. Sometimes it's as simple as taking a stake light and shoving it in a roof tile.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Yeah, exactly.
That's literally what we did.
Okay, other fundamentals, though, getting back on track a little bit, is letting actors know when people are in the haunt and where they are in the haunt.
Yeah, this came up at in a couple of places. Haunted Hotel was the most notable. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Actors were surprised we were in there.
Yeah. If you want to hear that full story, you'll
go
have
back
to go
back to the Houston podcast. We won't recall it all.
Either there or go over to the Garbage Horror one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Either have the Garbage Horror review at youtube.com/garbage horror.
Yeah. And it'll be up sometime soon.
Yeah. It'll be up very shortly. But the long story short there is... Yeah, we went through the haunted hotel. Apparently, some actors did not know we were there. We busted them, and they responded very poorly.
Yeah. So
this is a problem you have to solve. And it's like, we've been actors in haunts that didn't directly solve it.
Yeah.
But they had loud animatronics and things that we knew the sound of. I mean, everybody knows the sound of that electric chair going off.
Right. Exactly.
So we were able to know, oh, that's the electric chair. There are three rooms that away. Get in pocket.
Yeah, but also train actors to work together, not go against each other. And you can help, you can have them actually work together to help know where people are in the haunt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that drives me crazy. It's like most home haunts figure out how to let people know that there are people inside the haunt.
Yeah.
Within the first few nights.
Well, most home haunt and small haunts have the advantage of being small.
Yes.
So it's easier to let people know.
But even big haunts have the benefit of walkie-talkies and technology.
Yeah. Well, and I think that whenever you go, like, so I am going to use the Haunted Hotel as the example here. Whenever you go from one side of it to the other side of it, because there's
There's
a two-portion distinction. There should be something that, like, a bell ringing or some kind of light trip thingy that lets actors know, hey, somebody just entered our half.
Yeah, basically, though, the lesson here is you can never focus on the fundamentals hard enough.
No.
Even experienced 36-year running haunts need to come back and focus on the fundamentals from time to time.
Yeah.
Next item is the power of actors. This one was exciting because we had a couple of haunts that without amazing actors probably would have been meh.
Yeah.
But with the actors they had, were double thumbs up awesome.
Yeah.
The first was a Dungeon of Doom in Kima, Texas, and the Texas Maze of Terror in Vidor, Texas. These were haunts that, well, yeah, okay, the build was acceptable and okay, there wasn't any major gripes. Mm-hmm. It was the actors that really sold it, and the actors are what I remember.
Yeah.
And these are actors, like, with the Texas Maze of Terror, to use that as the example, I felt I was genuinely in an insane asylum, even though it was not an insane asylum theme.
Right.
Everyone was just acting that level crazy, I thought, oh God, is this haunt put on by, like, you know, some kind of insanitarium, you know? And I just completely missed it, and I'm surrounded by, like, murderers and stuff.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a stretch, but,
you know, but you get the point.
Yeah, they were very high energy, and they made the show work. And that's why we always say that actors are better than animatronics. If you can get them, get the actors.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Texas Maze of Terror had no animatronics at all.
No.
None that I can recall. But the actors made it and sold the show, and it was awesome. Dungeon of Doom had animatronics, and the few sequences they had with them did not work because they used animatronics poorly.
Yeah.
They kept trying to have the actors play the animatronics rather than the other way around.
Right.
Now, it's supposed to be the animatronic is the distract, the actor is the startle.
Yep.
And if you're doing it the other way around, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. All right, we've got a few more items here, trying to wrap it up. The importance of tightness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this really kind of blew my mind, because I hadn't had an issue with this in some time, but this year it came up like in full specter here, because you're not going to be judged as a haunt by your best parts.
No.
You're going to be judged by your weakest parts.
Yeah.
So make sure everything is up to code. No black walls, no weak sections, no blackout mazes or whatever else. Just make sure every panel is up to the code of your highest standard.
Right.
This was a problem we found over and over and over again in Houston, where they would have sequences which were absolutely amazing and were wonderful. But then you would go through these long, boring hallways and transitional segments to get to the next sequence, which was good.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
No. It wasn't just in Texas. I mean...
No.
The Pharaoh's Fury at Scott Island did the same thing.
Yeah.
We talked about that here, how the transitional sections just took you right out of the moment.
Yeah. And but the sections they've been able to work on, which were obviously the ones in the trailers they'd put all the years worth of work into, were really, really good. They were really beautiful. You could get lost in the moment. But once you left that, you were in this transitional sequence, which they'd obviously not been able to put that much time into.
Right.
And the result was you got snapped out of it and taken away. Every panel, every inch of that haunt should be as good as the previous.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we might be guilty of that, and now we...
Now we know to focus on it.
Maybe I know to focus on it a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it. This is one where we have to put our hand up and say guilty.
Yeah.
But also say it's something we want to work to improve on.
Yeah, exactly.
Next up, the importance of credit cards.
Yeah. Take my money.
Take my money, bitch. Take my money. Take my money. Take my money. Yeah, okay, here's the deal. Our biggest haunt purchase ever was Scuttled.
Yeah.
We were planning on spending $225 at a single haunted attraction, Phobia, near Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
And we didn't do it.
No.
We took our money and went elsewhere. Why? Because they were cash only. This would have been our biggest individual purchases and the most we'd spent per person.
Yeah.
And the most we'd spent in total. We were planning on bringing Ellie to this one.
Yeah.
So it'd have been like literally $75 per person, $225 in total. I can't think of a single haunt we've been to that's been anywhere near that.
No.
In terms of the amounts. But we were prepared to do it.
No. In fact, how much is the Lost Souls bus tour?
Oh, wow, that's a good question.
Because that's getting into their numbers.
Yeah, that's getting into their price range. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
While she's looking that up, I'll keep talking.
So yeah, please do.
The basic idea here, though, is when you say you're cash only, especially if you're more than, say, $40 for a couple of people, right? You're basically taking the cost of the transaction and passing it on to the customer. The customer is now going to have to go to an ATM. They're going to have to pay ATM fees. And you're basically telling them, yeah, you get to burden all the cost of giving me money.
Yeah, and I can't actually check because they've already taken down the page for tickets.
I think that's about the cost of a weekend, though.
I think so.
It's close. So theoretically, you could go to 6 haunted attractions and have a bus tour in that price range.
Yeah, exactly.
Just saying.
Yeah. And
it may not be exactly right, but it's close.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that's the thing. It's like the Lost Souls bus tour, that's 6 haunts. I don't count that as a single attraction purchase.
No. Plus the actual tour, and you get prizes. And
you get to meet Brewster.
Or you get a chance to win prizes. You might not get prizes, but you get a chance. Yeah.
But yeah, and here's the thing that kills me. Texas Maze of Terror in Vidor, Texas, a town that was hit with flooding 3 weeks before, a rural town without a lot of population, stricken by disaster.
Yeah, it was actually a week and a half before.
Stricken by disaster a week and a half before, took credit card.
Yeah.
The ticket booth had a stripe or a square or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And took my money via credit card. Meanwhile, yeah. Phobia, the big dog in Texas, in Houston, Texas, did not.
Yeah. And
you're being outdone, Phobia.
Well, not only that, but it just seems like you're trying to skirt paying taxes.
Yeah, it does.
When you do that. And I'm sorry, I don't want to give you my money to help you
cheat taxes.
Cheat taxes. Yeah.
Well, there's only a handful of reasons why you wouldn't take debit card and credit card in 2019.
Yeah.
The first is that your profit margin is so low that the transaction cost would cause it to be unprofitable. Mm-hmm. That is not true with haunted attractions. If your profit margin is that low, raise your goddamn prices.
Yep.
Seriously, you control the price, raise it.
Yep.
The second is that you're trying to cheat taxes for some reason. And the third is that you have some unreasonable grudge against credit cards, at which point, get over it.
Yeah.
Those are your three reasons. Which is it? It doesn't matter. They're all terrible.
Yeah.
How's that?
Sounds good.
All right, our final one for this week. The power of a good vibe.
Yeah.
I can't emphasize this one enough after the Houston trip.
No.
This is a good one to end on.
It is, which is good because we're over time.
Yeah, slightly. Yeah, we are at time. But no, here's the thing. We left some haunts. They left us happy. Some didn't.
Yeah. And it's the power of when some haunts we showed up to completely pissed off from the previous haunt.
Yeah.
But they were able to turn around the night for us, and we are so grateful they were.
Looking at you, Houston Scream Fest. Yeah. Looking at you, Terror Dome. And looking at you, Texas Maze of Terror.
Yeah.
Three haunts that turned it around greatly.
Yeah.
Not that we were that mad when we went to Terror Dome, but still, we were not in the best of moods. But they turned it, but they gave us a good mood.
Yeah.
And the only thing those haunts have in common, which they're three very different attractions.
They are.
The only thing they have in common is they had good vibes. They really focused on the entertainment aspect, not necessarily on the money sucking and the scare aspect of it.
Right. And not only that, but there were always people willing to talk to the customers.
Yeah.
Asking us where, you know, if we needed anything, did we know where to go? Did we want to go through anything again?
Yeah.
You know. And it's that kind of customer interaction that's really appreciated because we weren't wearing our Haunt Weekly shirts.
No.
We were
just nobodies.
Exactly. We were nobodies and we got treated very well.
In fact, it's hilarious. This is a true story here. We were at Houston Scream Fest.
Yeah.
And we were with Ellie.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there on a bench. We're just enjoying our free beverages and we're chilling out, playing some carnival games.
Yeah.
And the owner comes up, hey, does anyone want to go through again?
Yeah.
And no, it's late. We're pretty much done. Thank you, though. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, well, We greatly appreciate it if you would leave us a positive review on Facebook or Google or whatever.
Yeah.
And we looked at them and said, oh, well, I think we're going to do one better on that.
Yeah.
We run a YouTube channel that reviews haunted attractions. And they went, oh, we had no idea.
Yeah.
And this was after everything.
Yeah. Yeah. They were being nice just to be nice and to make sure that their customers were taken care of.
Yeah.
And going the extra mile.
The importance of customer service. And I'm changing this, by the way, to the power of customer service.
Yeah.
I'm changing it when I put it in the show notes now. It is done. I have willed it so. The power of customer service is basically these haunts talked to their customers, worked with them, asked them what how they were doing, what they needed, what they wanted,
mm-hmm.
and basically made sure they got the experience they desired.
Yeah.
When we went to Creepy Hollow, which was highly recommended, we didn't get any of that. We couldn't find a ticket booth. We couldn't find anyone to talk to about where to go. We had asked three people to find where the VIP line for Dark Hot Woods was.
We had no... okay. So other than the one character that we did ask where the VIP entrance was, which yeah. he was cool, we had no...
useful interactions.
Interactions at all.
Yeah.
With characters or with people who worked there outside of that.
Yeah.
If we didn't, and in fact, if we didn't initiate the conversation, we did not have any interaction with people yeah. outside of the actual haunt interaction.
Yeah. This is something that was really powerful was you have to be able to approach the customers and talk to them and tell them, hey, what's going on? How are you enjoying it? And not do it in costume. Granted, the actors at Houston Scream Fest were able to approach us in costume and make right. it well worth our time.
Yeah. I mean, we did get asked leaving Red Rum.
Yeah.
Why we were leaving already.
Because we were done.
We were done. We went through everything and we couldn't stick around because we had other haunts to get to.
But if you're asking someone in the parking lot as they're leaving, it's too late.
Yeah, exactly. That
they're gone.
Yeah.
So yeah, the importance of that customer service, that aspect of approaching customers, talking to them, and making sure they're happy. Like none of these haunts in Houston knew who we were.
No.
We weren't wearing Haunt Weekly shirts. We weren't wearing Garbage Horror shirts.
Yeah.
We were just two random ass hats going to haunted houses.
Right.
And the ones that approached us and worked with us and helped us
mm-hmm.
were, in the end, way better experiences than those who weren't.
Yeah.
I think that's actually kind of the biggest difference in a way.
Yeah.
Now that we actually think about it and talk about it, that seems to be the biggest difference.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I've got this week. Those are my lessons. I'm taking them with me. You can do what you want with them.
Yeah, we just shared them also.
We shared them, but we're taking them with us, and we're going to do stuff with them. You can do what you want.
Yeah.
On that note, everyone, thank you for joining us for the past hour. This has been Haunt Weekly, episode 205, about our 2019 lessons. Sorry we couldn't talk about our haunt season lessons. We didn't have a haunt. Cry for us. Aww. But we did learn a lot from the haunts we visited and a lot from our experience in not having a haunt, so hopefully it helped you too. If you want to learn more stuff like this, you can follow us at hauntweekly.com or also hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook, and youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel where all the previous episodes are available for easy listening. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, you'll find us there. So until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
This has been Garbage Horror and Haunt Weekly. Sorry, we just did Garbage Horror reviews. It's my fault.
Yeah.
Got confused. This has been Haunt Weekly, and we will see you guys next time.